This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oh, hello, Alistair Plum.
Good evening, Ross Drummond.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Welcome to the podcast that we're doing together.
Thank you. This is 1990s Problems.
Welcome also to the other person in our room that we are doing the podcast in.
Hello, sir.
Hi, how are you?
very well, thank you. What's your name, friend?
I'm Stephen Alan York. Hi, that's my name.
Vocal artiste.
Well.
Comedian.
Do me best.
He's in the improvisational group All Made Up,
which everyone would have heard of.
Well, if you listen to this podcast, you will know, because of Kate Bell.
Yeah, exactly.
Grainchill's own.
Very own Kate Bell.
Yeah.
She's known for other things, but yeah, she was in Grainchill. She did a Grainchill episode, and it was great. She's great. We're great. We're doing which episode of which TV show of what thing?
We're not doing any specific episode because there's just so many of them.
I will say exactly how many of them there are.
There are a lot.
There are.
We are doing
166 episodes of what we're about to do.
Fucking hell.
166.
It's going to be one hell of a long podcast.
We're
going to go through every single one of them.
See the dedication towards your listeners, how many of them stick through the next few weeks.
If you haven't worked out what this is by the name of the podcast, you know, the actual file that's come up.
If you're confused by the words.
Why don't we just cut straight to the music, see if they can work it out?
I mean,
they will be able to. Because
what a wonderful tune.
It's just such
now
a
I'm
going to
play. Now there's a number now, of tunes.
Well, I was going to say, there's a couple of them in there.
Yeah.
I preferred it when Moby remixed it, but that's just
You like the add on straight on 7-inch?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah,
I think it sounds great through
really
a good pair of
slick
speakers.
Licks.
Have you heard the DJ Shadow version?
Yeah, wow. It's very minimalist.
Yeah. That was banned by the BBC radio service.
Yeah, people try to kill themselves. This is the theme tune. Sounds a lot like Brian May.
It sounds a lot like fun.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's another reason why I quite like it as well. It's amazing. Or like Steve Vai.
Could you just for fun?
Go on. I'm going to stop that.
Do your own version of the riff.
Yeah.
Okay, no. One at a time.
Can I get first?
Ready?
Yep, please.
That's good.
Thanks. I just did the one riff.
You had a whammy bar.
I did a little dive there at the end.
My favourite bit of the whole song is Rose the... There's like a little bit of it. Also, there's a bit in another version of the front thing where they wheel out a piano and it's all kind of like paper art. And it goes into the kitchen and you see bits of cabbage getting chopped up, and then it goes to the drawing room and there's
a house party.
There's a house of cards that goes up and then falls down.
Nightmare.
Then a piano comes in and there's a discordant clong.
But you know that title sequence won like an award, like a title sequence award.
Because it's great. Great.
And there's this bit at the end that I used to really like. At the very very end, there's a bit I really like, and when the theme tune finishes, it just this trumpet just goes. And I thought, it's a very poignant... Like, we're going to have a good time, everybody.
Yay!
Yeah. There's a house party.
What's
Welcome
the name
to
of the
party?
Show?
It's Noel's House Party.
House Party.
House Party of Christmas.
Noel's House Party.
Noel's House Party, which was on. Let me give you all the info.
Go on. I think it was on for a long time.
Let me give you the wiki blast. Yes, you know it's 166 episodes. You know there are 8 series. You know that it was written by a bunch of people, but started by, obviously, Noel Edmonds, infamous bearded man that haunted... 1990s TV shows.
It haunts to this day, really.
Well, just on one channel now, but it used to be literally...
He was everywhere.
Everywhere. It was a BBC television light entertainment show hosted by Sir... Not Sir yet, but probably will be, Noel Edmonds.
You think he's due an age?
It was set in a large house, quote-unquote, large house, in the fictional village of Crinkly Bottom, leading to much innuendo.
Oh,
in 2010,
yeah.
Bottom, Noel's yeah. house party was voted...
Oh, yeah.
That's a new word. Was voted the best Saturday night TV show of all time.
Rightly so.
You think so?
Oh, God, yeah. I love this show.
It featured a bunch of games that I'm just going to give the names of. We can bring them up later. Gotcha, most famous one.
Yeah, classic.
Wait Till I Get You Home, which sounds as sinister as it is.
Getting pulled by the ear as well.
The Lyric Game, Grab a Grand, Cash for Questions, NTV, Sofa Soccer, The Big Pork Pie, The Gunch Tank, Number Cruncher, Gunch Beat Tank. Your Neighbor, another cracking to be interpreted at your leisure name there. My Little Friend, there's another one.
There we go, yeah.
And The Hot House.
They all
finally,
sound like
all
names. They all sound like names for Noel's penis.
All like,
wait know, till I get you home
to my hot house and my little friend where I will beat your neighbor.
Yeah, given to him by Dave Lee Travis.
Do you want to see my big pork pie?
But we don't talk about it.
It lasted for about 45-55 minutes. It came out on Saturday nights in the evening and
55
went on air from the 23rd of November 1991 to the 20th of March 1999. It had a kind of
there's some drama,
which was the Noel Edmonds Saturday Roadshow.
Yeah.
Which was a different kettle of fish. What can you tell us about that?
I remember the Noel Edmonds Saturday Roadshow, and there was the late breakfast show, wasn't
yes,
there?
Yes, right.
That
yeah,
came
yeah,
before
yeah.
it. And they were kind of like pre-shows to the glorious house party that we're going to be celebrating this evening. I remember not really watching it once. I don't think the actual idea, because it was kind of quite like surreal in its own way. I think one week it was all set in the studio, but it would pretend one week he was in Iceland, one week he was in space. And I just
Hollywood.
Think Hollywood
Crinkly
and I think
Bottom.
At a young age I was just like, yeah, but you're not in space, sorry, you know, and I just switched off.
You didn't believe.
Yeah, I didn't suspend my disbelief that much.
But you believed in the bottom of Crinkly.
I believed in Noel and his Crinkly Bottom.
Who do you think that's, when you watch some of the gotchas,
the
you
gotchas
can
being
sort of just
pranks,
bad jokes.
Well, the Gotcha Oscar, but he got sued, didn't he?
Yeah, he got done in.
Well, yeah, it was originally was the Gotcha Oscar.
The Academy Award
was so annoyed.
They didn't like it.
The very idea. People will be confused.
Yeah.
I don't want the idea, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis.
I don't want people to think.
This isn't a Gotcha Oscar in my bathroom.
Yeah.
This is an Academy Award.
Yeah.
We need to do something about it. SAG. They probably had something to do with it.
I reckon the Golden Globes would be flattered if they were called the Gotcha Globes.
The Golden Globes is another name for Noel Edmonds.
And it does make you think, how did they even find out about it? It's kind of like, you know, was Anthony Hopkins watching it Saturday night and just went to his mate, here, you'll never guess what? And they both, what? There's a show, what? There's an award? So, and Noel got a summons.
He did.
And he got told to cease and desist.
That was a Monday morning meeting after the debrief. Great show this weekend, guys. Had a few faxes come through.
However,
Gary Lineker's still vomiting in the loo, so it was a great one. So, well done. Can't wait for next week when we're going to have a mix of live and not live bullshit interrupted by a giant pink blobby man called Mr. Blobby.
Monsieur Blobby.
A massive inflamed penis with
again,
a bow tie.
A lot of Freudian... I wonder if any A-level students have ever done sort of a Freudian...
You could write quite a
analysis on Noel's house party, Mr. Blobby. Mr. Blobby, looking back at the concept of Mr. Blobby.
He was part of the Gotcha thing.
Well, this is the thing. But he's got a bad press, I think.
He would jump out during the Gotcha and you'd know you'd been got because it was a massive pink pill covered in spots.
Exactly, yeah.
Right?
I mean, that's how I know.
But that's how he was created. So he gets a bad press for being this annoying, chart-topping... You know, idiot.
Christmas number one.
Have you got the song ready?
Have
to
I
roll
got the original video? Oh, I mean,
Are we going? We're not going to do our own interpretations of that.
I mean, we haven't got enough time.
Good.
I haven't got my vocal warm-ups ready.
No. Well, I need to get my.
I think probably we'll play a bit of it, but what I'll do is I'll probably drop it in at the end. We'll play the full Blobby track.
Let's fade out on Blob.
Yeah, because I mean, like the song, it's a real.
I was saying to you earlier, Ross. There are some amazing bits of Wikipedia description about Mr. Blobby and Noel's house party, because whoever wrote the Wikipedia pages for Noel Edmonds obviously has quite a wry sense of humour, and they've delivered a lot of the stuff in this really funny way. Here's a description of Mr. Blobby.
Go on.
Mr. Blobby was a character on Noel Edmonds' Saturday night TV variety show, Noel's House Party, portrayed by Barry Killaby.
Poor Bastard. Not that bit. And was the brainchild of British comedy writer Charlie Adams, a writer for the show. A bulbous pink figure covered with yellow spots, he sported a permanent toothy grin and jiggling eyes.
He is so dead behind the eyes, Mr. Lovey. I mean, people always say things like that, but the stuff of nightmares.
But seriously, it goes on. Mr. Blobby communicated only by saying the word Blobby in an electronically altered voice. Although popular, the character was not well received critically.
See, I think he was. I used to love it. Even now, me and my mate Lee, if it ever comes up a conversation, be like, when he used to fall over, like even when he wasn't doing a Gotcha Oscar, he would be sometimes be at the door and he'd like come on and he'd just like fall over someone, like I don't know, Wiener Curry or someone who's also there being gunged. I used to laugh because he just someone falling over in an oversized pink.
Quintessential slapstick.
Yeah, I just loved it. I didn't want to laugh, but I just couldn't help myself. Even now, if I see a clip. Because he really like falls down.
He goes hard. He commits.
Well, I think he commits because he knows he's fully cushioned. Yeah. So there's no bruises to like, you know, he doesn't have to worry about bruises.
He is the predecessor of the sumo suit. Yeah, I was about to say.
It's like wearing a crash mat. So he's fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
He could have just pushed him out of a skyscraper. He'd have been
just inside, just that Barry chapter, just screaming inside.
Yeah, yeah.
Who am I? I've fallen through Robert Kilroy Silk.
It was actually
Robert Kilroy Silk.
It was actually Johnny Vegas, like off his tits on
Yeah.
Just like lumbering about.
Oh, big time, yeah.
Blobbing off.
Is the creation of the 90s fueled cocaine television. I mean, there's no way that was.
Well, I think it. I don't know. It's weird.
When you think.
Because people think he was just like this annoying thing that's created, but because it was for the gotchas, and I think because they couldn't use him no more, because like the celebrities who were being gotched.
He was too well known.
Yeah. So they are like.
It wasn't all celebrities to begin with.
Oh, wasn't it? Oh,
sometimes
okay.
He would just like kind of getcha.
The everyman. The everyman
regular
would be
bloke.
Civvies.
And in the 100th episode, about maybe two dozen of the people, like regular people that gotched him, said, right, we're doing it to you.
Noel got gotched.
So Noel gets gotched like. A dozen times on the trot, gets covered in gunge, gets his car covered in gunged.
Nightmare.
Gunged. Gets blasted with foam, gets forced to lay a ginormous egg whilst wearing a corset.
Good.
I also, just to go back to Wikipedia, there is a great page in the Noel's House Party. There's a subsection called Blobby Gate.
Wow.
Well, walk
not,
us through it.
Not an entryway into Noel's house. But Blobbygate. Blobbygate.
Which would be pink with yellow spots.
Yeah, absolutely.
Blobbygate was a crinkly bottom theme park which opened in Morecambe in 1994, were closed just 13 weeks after opening.
Fuck.
A 2-year investigation by the district auditor
Amazing.
Was started due to the investment of £2 million by Lancaster City Council.
Which in the 90s, is a lot of money.
This resulted in both Conservatives and Liberal Democrats withdrawing from the cabinet, leaving four councillors from Morecambe Bay Independents and the Green Party running the authority.
Blobby for PM.
Oh, Blobby took him down. He fell over.
You got blobbied.
That's
a real gotcha.
It's like a gotcha,
Mr.
Morecambe.
Blobby at the job centre. Yeah.
It's like a political red tape version of what he does physically to people. Yeah, just like comes in, crashes around, and just ruins everything. He just did that.
Promised dreams shattered.
Yeah, he did it administratively.
If you've not seen pictures of what Mr. Blobby's theme park looks now, looks like
now. That's great.
It's honestly the setting of a Japanese horror film. It is like the ring.
It's flattened now, it doesn't exist. Blob. They flattened it. But they got rid of it.
You can't flatten Mr. Blobby. He bounces back up.
But yeah,
spotted tumbleweeds.
There is. I mean, if you Google it, unfortunately, you'll go to the Daily Mail, but other newspapers are available. But the pictures, they're just like.
Oh my God.
And it says, Mr. Blobby touched me here. Somebody spray painted it on the wall.
Not in a good way.
No. And, you know.
That must have seen Noel's big pork pie.
It looks like Chernobyl.
It does look a bit like a pink Chernobyl.
It's a Chernobyl.
It's a Chernobyl.
Oh, that's good.
It says, no admin, stop pretending Deal or No Deal is more than it is. These are just straight. These are
of all the things to write on the wall.
Yeah, very eloquent. They were very eloquent.
The
as well.
Name of one of his houses was called Dun Blobbin, as in Dun Roman, Dun Blobbin.
Yeah. The Blobby Shop. It looks so sad.
But they didn't, like, it wasn't, right, I think they were kind of trying to go for, like, a big, like, Disney World, but
yeah,
it was
sure.
just kind of like a but small I mean, little park
just, yeah,
with, like, a gift shop.
Really
they had no rides.
No.
There was nothing.
You could visit his house, Mr. Blobby's house, which was, like, really pink and mental.
Yeah, but it was quite small, I think, wasn't
it? Yeah, it looked like the front room of your nan who you weren't ever allowed in it. You know what I mean? that, you know, that room that you're not, I sound like I'm doing like a bit, but like, yeah, yeah. You know, it's like that, the sofa.
Yeah.
Chintz. Is that a word? You know what I mean? Word. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that strong sofa, 90s silk.
But they didn't really commit, so no one wanted to go because it was rubbish.
Well, it was rubbish. What are you going to do? You go in there.
It's like going to a really small...
Buy a blobby dog. Some balloons.
Yeah.
That's it, you're done. Oh, there's Mr. Blobby's house.
I mean, it's like, I don't know, it's no like Disney big castle, is it?
No.
I think what it was is there are versions of this that have really worked. Like there's a Peppa Pig world. It's just that Mr. Blobby, not to rub it in his big pink face, was not popular enough. No one actually liked him. Peppa Pig and her family.
I loved him as a kid, though.
Are well loved.
But she got stories. She got like a backstory. Yeah, there's actually stories to the show. But Blobby just falls over.
Yeah, and says his name. He's like a really... Do you think George R. R. Martin, when coming up, he was running out of characters?
With Hodor. He went, Hodor, just, Mr. Blobby, Blob, yeah, Blob, Hodor, Hodor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was like, he just was on YouTube and he was just going into a YouTube hole. Next thing you know... Best Noel's house party.
Do you think Noel is the inspiration for Jon Snow?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's a right bastard.
He's got a tidy beard.
They do. Lovely head of hair, Noel Edmonds.
Oh. Well, he doesn't look any different now.
Hasn't aged.
That's the thing. I'm looking at these clips and I'm like, he looks the same. It's,
you know why? Because he... Botox. It doesn't have a real human heart.
Doesn't have a soul.
It doesn't have a heart.
The souls out of Barbara Windsor, Carol Vorderman, Jill Dando, Chris Akabusi, Lionel Blair, Richard Whiteley,
Eamon Holmes.
And of course... the entirety of the Queen's Park Rangers Club, which he did, of course, all got in one go.
Yeah, right. So that's why he looks so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just an... And
you know Gunge is made out of children's souls, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We talked about Gunge at length in this programme, in the Funhouse episode.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the science of it. It's mental, and they're not really used anymore.
No, but it's okay, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fine.
We was up in Edinburgh a couple of weeks ago, me and the girls, doing our show.
Talking about your Edinburgh award-winning show, Edinburgh.
Well, Edinburgh Award
yeah,
Award,
I mean,
Edinburgh.
Invisible awards that didn't get awarded.
Once to watch. So you were, in some magazines, some glossies.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, hello. Okay. Showing off our pad. That didn't happen.
All right, then.
yeah. All right.
Oh, so you're here.
Yeah.
The Bristol version. Hello, my love.
Greetings.
So we was up there and we were flyer in, like you've got to do, on this sort of like walkway.
Get the
and
seats.
Dave Benson Phillips.
Shut your
mouth. EBH.
And I wasn't there for this bit because I was flying out the other end of the road and the girls were there and they were sort of going, oh, you should come to our show, Dave Benson Phillips. And he went, oh, that's right. And they had a selfie took with him for our like Instagram page.
Sure.
And he goes, oh, let us have a flyer. And apparently he looks at it and he goes, what time is it? And our show is like 1:30 or something. And he goes, oh, I can't come to it then because I've got to get up early and make the Gunge. Because he was up there doing Don't Try This. Is it Don't Try This at Home?
Yeah.
He was doing a live version in Edinburgh. And that's what he said.
Dave Benson Phillips in his sort of Airbnb in Edinburgh. Yeah. Just,
I thought he'd have someone to make the Gunge for him. But no, he's got to make it himself.
God, that's depressing,
isn't
it?
You earn your keep up there, don't you?
Do you think he said that, though, just to be like, I got to make it? Or is it?
Oh, no, I actually saw him in a queue, and he was sort of flyering himself, I think, in a queue, and he was sort of showing people about like the Gunge. I think he was sort of making Gunge to throw at some sort of people or whatever whilst he in
sad,
another show
it?
Advertising his show. So, I don't know, I felt a bit bad. He should have some. He's a big TV ledge.
He's like Pat Sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Pat Sharp making his own soft play cubes, yeah, so people fell in, or making his own go-karts,
and writing his own jokes.
Yeah,
oh, come on, that would ruin the fun. Take that, Pat. We love you. Please come on our show. Let's just talk a bit more about how the house worked, because when you think house, you might think Dun Blobbin, like a little cottage. No, this is a giant country manor where you open the big wooden door. Of course, it's all on the set. It's all in a giant warehouse.
Don't everyone think for a second.
Everyone walked through this imaginary door in the middle of the set, and to your right, there was some kind of library, red carpet, weird bit.
Yeah.
To your left was kind of a hallway.
People come and go.
Aisle, I don't know. And then there was some like stone stairs that went up. So it was kind of a two-layered...
Split level. Yeah.
Mega mansion.
A maisonette.
And often celebrities would stay on the... on the little ledge up top and then just like throw things at people
it's
and
like
have
the,
a fight
the
with Blobby.
Bit on Strictly while they're waiting to dance.
Yes, like that.
But what kind of view do the audience have? Does some of the audience have restricted views? Because they don't see the top bit, not the bottom
You
bit.
Get the good seats or the bad seats.
You've got to get there first.
You've got to get there early. Queue outside White City. Was it Film Television Centre? It must have been.
Would have made sense, yeah. They often made jokes about...
Well, if you did QPR
about
as well.
About saying, over in London, they kept saying...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Over in London... They're doing this. And it would cut to a picture of BBC Television Centre where they were.
Brilliant.
You think. Yeah, it's just I want people to realise that it was actually quite a quote-unquote high production value.
It was very expensive.
For a show
yeah,
that was kind of purposely a bit shite.
But what? Yeah. But at the time, we didn't know no better, did we?
Well, no, there was no better.
No.
It was high.
It was good, bad.
Yeah.
For me, it was the kind of show that you always said to your parents, oh, can I call in and win the prize? Can I call in? And my mum would be like, no, it's 29p and you've only got until 7:20.
Yeah.
So it's 7:15
now. This is pre-rigging. We didn't know that they were rigging these phone lines. The scandal. The phone scandals.
We were being duped.
No. It was also super, super like BBC friendly. Like, it was very much like, oh, and it's BBC's very own. Like, it talked a lot about the Beeb.
Jasper Carrot.
Yeah, it was very, I think he was actually more ITV, Jasper.
Was he?
I think he was, yeah. I'm going to look that up. But yeah, it was very, did you find it being quite BB as well as
yeah,
Blobby?
Yeah, quite, because you kind of, I don't know, I got a lot of affection for this show because I remember we used to go down our nans on a Saturday and you'd sort of watch on ITV Gladiators. And Catchphrase. And Baywatch. Don't know if that was the order. And then our dad had already recorded back home the Holy Trinity, Big Break,
nice
house Boom. Party, Boom. Generation Game to come Forget back to. Yes. And so when you were watching, oh, I just I
what
to
a night
it.
Of entertainment.
Well, it was. Well, I always think because it was in the middle. I think House Party. When I think that was better than a Generation Game. I think the Generation Game should have led up
was
to that.
8 o'clock.
Yeah. Oh, just amazing. And yeah, so you did have a lot of BBC people. Like, the people at the door were always people who were on the BBC, like Neil Morrissey.
Yeah.
I remember he was Sammy the Shammy, and he was like the window cleaner. And he was like, oh, he's on Men Behaving Badly on BBC. It was a lot of BBC people. But then sometimes, controversially, you had an ITV people. Remember the two detectives, people who played two detectives were the two fellas from The Bill.
No,
they knocked on the door, and they were recurring characters. Sometimes they break the rules.
They Ooh. Broke the fourth wall.
Yeah. By the way, I need to take it all back. Jasper Carrot did a hell of a lot of BBC shit, so I take it all back.
It's fine.
Carrot's a company man.
One of the people that epitomises the kind of celebrity they'd have on the show is Dale Winton. Like, he was kind of not an antagonist. The ultimate antagonist of Noel was Tony Blackburn.
There was
a made-up rivalry between Noel and Tony Blackburn, and they obviously just were both willing to take any money from the Beeb they could.
Sure.
Like, give me more for my pension. Please, shove it in my back pocket.
The 90s.
Yeah.
But they had this whole bit where they hated each other. There were lots of bits. Joan Crawford would pretend to turn up sometimes. And it was also a show that really reminds me of the delayed satellite thing. When you'd call someone up in America and they'd be like, so what are you doing over there? I'm about to get gunged. And then the question that they then ask would be delayed for the next answer.
It's a bit awkward. Talking of America, do you remember Noel's New York house party?
Shut up, tell me everything.
No.
There's footage of this.
Well, he tried to break America with a show.
Well, he did a one-off special.
Holy shit.
And it was in the Ed Sullivan Theatre where David Letterman did his, like, the Late Show. And it was in front of an American audience. And it was like
wheeled
set in an apartment.
Mr. Blobby, and they were like, what?
Yeah, but it was like, but
Noel's apartment party.
But it was, yeah, exactly. But it was called House Party. It was an apartment, but it was a complete, it wasn't the house set. It was like this pink apartment. And you could get it up.
I'll look it up.
And you could, and it's, but it looks like some sort of like weird, imagine like a, you know, like a Barbie doll's house.
Yeah, Ken house.
It was kind of like that, but it was very cheaply made. It looked like it was all made with like MDF.
Wow.
And painted pink. And people would come at the door, but it'd be like Hasselhoff and stuff. And all the Americans are cheering. They don't have a clue who he is. It was awkward.
Noel's New York house party. The whole thing is there.
Oh my God.
I can't imagine it working in any way.
It's awkward to watch. He's got a fluorescent green shirt on.
He does, yeah.
That
Mr. Blobby.
Well,
David Hasselhoff. William Shatner.
Yeah.
Tyne Daly and Barry Manilow.
That's a cracking lineup.
Tyne Daly, she knocks at the door, right? So she's Cagney or Lacey, one of them.
Yeah.
And she knocks at the door. She walks in. She's kind of like, you know, a little bit older than when she was in Cagney and Lacey. And you know when the doors opened on House Party and everyone would go,
yay!
No one, even in Americans, they don't know who she is. And there's this awkward 3 second silence while she
Cagney!
Walks in.
Yeah.
And then you can tell like a production manager's going, cheer. And everyone cheers.
Flip and hit the applause song.
Yeah.
No.
For Cagney or Lacey.
Mr. Blobby is in New York. I can confirm.
Brilliant.
That. I'll zoom forward there.
Brilliant. Come imagine his passport photo.
There were 5 international versions of Mr. Blobby's
Customs.
House party. Wait, Noel Edmonds' house party, including Belgium, Denmark, Germany, Netherlands, and Spain.
All of which
didn't make it to a second season.
Didn't translate because it's quintessentially British.
In Netherlands, it was called Monte Carlo.
Wow.
What? In Germany, it was Gottschalk's House Party, which makes sense because it was hosted by a guy called Thomas Gottschalk.
Yeah.
The German Noel.
The German Noel. That's the best you could say. Nihil. You could still buy VHSs that featured such titles as The Best of Noel's House Party in 2000.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, that's a stopping filler. Especially now with VHS, that's a chunky thing. You get that.
You'd have to nowadays, buy the, you have to buy them a VHS
download card.
Well.
It's not filling up a stocking. You get a couple of VHS in there, done.
Here's an iTunes voucher, but you can only use it on Noel's House Party.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That'd be great if you could do that. If you're like, hey, look, here's £100.
Yep.
But you've got to spend it in Blobbyland.
A closed down. It's vouchers.
You have to find it.
The gift shop is so small, you can't spend £100 in there. There's not enough.
You can buy it. You can buy the whole building.
Yeah, yeah. And the fixtures and fittings. Oh.
You can buy a piece of paper that said, I helped pay off Morecambe District Council's debt.
So yeah, that was... I found some facts, trivia.
Give me the drivs.
And one of the... So in 1990... So one thing I did think... So notice that I talked about the controversy earlier on. It started to kick off sort of 96, 98.
Yeah,
right?
It went
that
long,
year.
Didn't it?
You know why that was?
Why is that?
What was the controversy? Labour. Please explain what the controversy was.
Noel is such a fucking Tory.
Yeah.
He's a total Tory. And Noel's House Party is quintessentially... He had Robert Kilroy Silk, UKIP member.
Brilliant.
Did he step down? I can't remember. He was But, you know, Kilroy Silk was a staunch... So it's very, like, Eurosceptic world on Noel's House Party. Yeah. And I feel like the idea that it started to go wrong, he sort of fall out with people. Basically, as we just touched on... High production value.
Yeah.
And he was pushing the boundaries. The BBC were like, this is great, this is great. And probably what actually... And then he was like pushing it. And then he was like, a producer left. So he took over the producer's role and he still presented it.
Brilliant.
So he's just power mad.
It's like a player manager.
He is, yeah. He's like the Edgar Davids of Saturday Night Television. Yeah, exactly. And
a grade one beer.
And didn't get his way, had a big falling out, and apparently he walked out on one show, and that's why they had to replay a best of. Noel left the building.
Wow,
I remember this happening, and it was
Blobby
all
out.
Papers, and it was all
off, big,
and
huge.
It starts to go wrong. I remember there was this because it was such a big show. I remember reading
huge.
All that.
Yeah,
I think it's because BBC has to do quite a lot of stuff that isn't actually fun. It's got to be like, right, we've got to tell people what digital TV is. Let's make the digital TV, changeover happen. We need to save some money. Noel's like, no, this is my magnum opus. Look at this gun. It doesn't get made by Dave Benson Phillips, you know.
Yeah.
This is like, why does he make this?
Benson pumps his own gudge, but not Edmund.
Dave's like, I've got none to spare. Sorry,
yeah,
Noel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm busy.
Look, the lady blobby is busy rubbing my shoulder right now, so do we have to talk about money? He's honestly the most pompous fart. The idea that he had this much pride and ridiculous, like, I am an artiste.
He is the Jeremy Clarkson of Saturday Night Television.
Well, he's a very divisive character, Edmund, isn't he? Like, people, it's not even that you like him or hate him. Most people don't
just
like
dislike
him.
And he's quite aware of it as well, I think.
Yeah, I think he is.
Because he's very self-referential. Like, he did kind of like every episode had like a monologue.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I was thinking that it's like Noel Edmonds did stand up.
Yeah, he did.
Which
he did
is
a little
so bizarre,
like, and he's like
he
topical,
quite a comedian.
Yeah, yeah, but he actually
topical.
Did whether it worked or not. But someone said let's get him to do stand up
because there's loads of like because the thing that I was watching these monologues and just being like he's doing topical material.
Yeah, I know, it's so weird. But
and he was like
John Major. What's he like?
Yeah, he's like. But he's also like, he mentions Game Boys.
What's that?
He like, talks about a Game Boy one year and everyone's like, whoa!
Yeah, right.
He's like, yeah, I've got loads of them in the back. It must have been hard to get hold of that Christmas.
Oh yeah, right, yeah.
So he's
so
like,
topical.
Stuff like that, yeah. And then there's one, he's like, I can't remember. I'm trying to think of the story. He's doing a monologue and he's talking about recording phone calls.
Oh, okay.
And he's like,
yeah, that might have been some Sting from the Sun or something.
Probably. I feel like it might have been like a Diana and maybe Dodie.
Oh dear, before it all
happened. They all got
in
that race
in
car.
Happy days.
And he's like, you know, doing all this topical stuff. And I thought, God, imagine being a joke writer for Noel Edmonds.
Yeah, because it's like, is he going to deliver this well?
Yeah, does he know?
Oh, he's mangling
his best.
It.
You know, the timing.
He's mangling
best,
my lawn mower pun. Oh, what an asshole.
He's tripped over his words again.
Yeah. Here's an example of a really shitty like I was watching the hundredth episode ever, and here's an example: is Joan Collins turns up and goes, "I've got some messages for you." People left some phone messages for you. One of them says, "Well done on reaching the big ton." I went, "Oh, that's nice of them. 100 episodes, that's nice." And he went, "No, that's from Weight Watchers."
Oh, I probably laughed at the time.
Woo! Oh,
good work, Noel.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
There's a lot of cracker jokes. It was like,
is everyone all right? You know what I mean? It's like,
I think that's what's missing from the Red Box show. I think a bit of those cracker jokes.
Fuck
if
me.
You opened the box and there was a cracker joke you had to read out every time, it'd be take you back to these days.
It is so just shit.
Well, I tried to describe it before we got started. I went, what is it that this show is? Because it isn't like Generation Game. Generation Game is a game show, right?
Yeah.
So you've talked about the Red Box game. So Deal or No Deal, that is a game show that's very boring and involves maths and basically probability. But
there
it is
no game.
It is
no.
a game
you
show.
You could do it in 2 minutes, couldn't you?
You could even go to the likes of, Big Break. Essentially a game show.
Well, it's only a game show.
Literally, but you've got to put...
Hey! I got that!
You got that, yeah?
It's about a second later than I was supposed to, yeah. You should have sung it.
But this wasn't a game show, and nor was it a chat show. It was a panto crossed with what I think... I think it's a panto crossed with an early Saturday morning zoo radio
show. Well,
that's
where Noel comes from. That's his world.
It's zoo radio, where it's like waka waka.
But when you think about it, he's quite ill-suited to that kind of show, because you'd think if they'd have given it to... obviously, he created it or whatever, but you think, you know, for Kenny Everett... or someone, or Barrymore, Bob Monkhouse, but
because
he's not like an
actual comedian,
exactly. Someone who's like he's not a naturally funny bloke or whatever. So it's, but he's like, no, I'm presenting it. If you want it, BBC, I'm doing it.
He is Alan Partridge.
Oh, he is. Yeah,
he is Alan Partridge.
Except he's much more successful.
He felt no, but you know what I mean. Like it is Alan Partridge.
He's
Alan Partridge
is Noel Edmonds, actually, in that kind of like had a massive, massive moment, and then just takes his chips and goes home. Now.
Yeah, Mr. Chips.
But I think he still makes a lot of money off Deal or No Deal, I have no doubt.
Well, he licensed it because he owns them.
But
that's
minted anyway, though, isn't it? Because he's got...
Well,
like,
he owned the rights to all these programs. He owned the rights to Deal or No Deal. So
and he's got all these production companies and things. He's minted.
Same as Evans.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, who
the moguls. The 90s.
Don't forget
your toothbrush.
Don't forget your toothbrush. But I couldn't believe how smashy and nicey radio show this was, going back to it.
Yeah.
It is so... Which random punt have we got on this week? What have we got them to do? Oh, also, really bad impressionists. So
Davro, eh?
It will be just someone dressed up as, I don't know, Fergie.
Yeah.
In
Not
a chair.
The member of Black Eyed Peas now. This is...
No.
The Royal. This is pre that Fergie.
No, but it will be somebody dressed up as Fergie making bad jokes. That would be a big part of one episode.
Sure.
And often the show was just getting random punters to call up and get duped and not win a grand.
Yeah.
I felt like a lot of it was that. But
filling time.
Yeah,
basically. Well, this is an hour-long show.
Yeah,
so
he's got to
long.
Fill it. Because you want people to win stuff all the
you
time,
you? Don't get
you?
That anymore. You wouldn't get an hour.
But it make when you watch
with
it...
With no adverts.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? When you watch it, it makes you think how much... it sort of influenced a lot of shows now. Like, Ant and Dec have borrowed a lot of stuff from that. People knocking at doors. They had this Christmas show a couple of years ago, and it's basically House Party.
Yeah,
it's
they
really
just
good.
Do silly things.
Yeah. And, like, you know, NTV, when, isn't it? When they
well,
used to
NTV,
sort of
that's the one
the
I remember.
Home. Yeah.
Just quickly explain what NTV is, because this is one of the segments.
No Television.
Hey!
NTV. Yeah, thank you.
Which
was basically
MTV.
And they didn't have a problem with it, like the Oscars.
No, they're fine. We could do with the publicity.
I would love it if MTV actually had rights to the letter M. Sorry, we own that.
Yeah.
Suck it.
So Noel would sit down at his chair, as he often would.
He did have a chair.
He did have a chair, like an old man, sitting on this pile of forms to evade tax to his left. And
hair dye bottles to
and
the right.
Hair dye bottles to the right. High-waisted trousers in front of him. And he would start chatting, and then all of a sudden, because it was live... So the viewer at home would be watching the program. They'd be sat on their sofa. And he would say something and he would like click his fingers and it would cut to the house of someone in the United Kingdom watching Noel's house party. And they'd be like, oh shit, we're on television.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's ever been done again.
Because now the idea of a hidden camera is just like, get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And
what's going on?
I spoke to Jess about this before, he's like, the idea, like, this is the 90s, right?
Yeah,
this isn't, you know, broadband. So to have, and it's usually when they get in there, it's not one camera, it's multiple cameras in the house. It's like 2-3 camera shoot infiltrated with a satellite rig.
Yeah, that's a pretty huge deal.
So there must be so many cables running out of someone's house. How?
Just for this
one.
I looked
a long time today trying to find someone. Then people have asked on the internet, like, oh, I'm doing a TV degree, trying to find out how they would have done NTV back in the 90s, like how they got away with it. Does anyone know anyone that was on it, whatever?
Well, like how actually, well, practically how it was achieved.
Imagine now we're three men in a room.
Well, hunks, I would say.
Thank you.
Well, I'm in it as well.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
Chief Hunk Alley over there.
Chief Hunk.
A mega hunk.
Chunk.
Please.
Hunk. We're watching the television.
Watching.
Unknown to us, there's multiple cameras in the room. Nowadays, I'd fall for it. I'd be like, oh, yeah, there's one in the lampshade. There's one in Yoda's eye.
Yep.
But back then, that's a big camera.
Oh, yeah, right. Even.
Oh, no, yeah, obviously, it's the size of a small fridge.
And I paused a number of episodes where they were, like, cutting to them to see if I could notice it, but I couldn't.
Oh, really?
I don't know how they did it. The technology admins had
its
hands on.
So it's a bit
on.
Like when you see old magic tricks and you're like, how did they do that? And people now are going, how did they? So it's like, how did they do that?
Because you think the cables they had to run through the.
It's a very good point, actually. I never thought of it.
And
like
no
that
one
before.
Noticed.
Because if there's like some, like.
A bowl of fruit on top of the telly
and you're like, why is that bowl of fruit on top of the telly? You know, yeah.
Why is there a man with a cable coming out of his back?
Yeah.
What's that?
Balancing on top of the
telly.
Why
television? Is there a giant hill covered in yellow spots with a massive camera in front of
me? Why is there a runner eating a kebab in the kitchen?
Who? No, I don't have any Earl Grey. What the fuck are you doing? Yeah. Who drinks Earl Grey?
You'd be suspicious.
You would, wouldn't you?
You would be.
But yeah, I don't know. It's a mystery, isn't it?
Nell's House Bossy. It's a mystery how it ever got so popular.
They would cut to these people and then Noel Edmonds would just show them pictures of them as a baby.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Embarrassing things.
Or the roly-polies would come in and make them dance in a tutu or something like that.
One I watched, the guy did impressions and he was really proud of them. One NTV was in Chris Evans' house.
I remember that. I remember watching
they
that.
They NTV'd.
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans. And God, Chris Evans in the dark. That. And he's like, hi, Chris. And I love the idea that on a Saturday night... In the 90s, Chris Evans at the top of his fame, like,
it's
you know.
They got him in.
He's
that's a big deal.
House party.
Or whatever. Yeah, he was blatantly Ivy. I've got a fantastic bit of trivia for you.
Go on.
Noel Edmonds would occasionally introduce episodes of Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, live on set on the show.
Brilliant.
This is because this show preceded the Superman series with a link in during the closing credits by Edmonds, which started this show straight away. In one show, Dean Cain, the guy who plays Superman slash Clark Kent in Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, made a cameo in character as Clark Kent slash
Holy
Superman,
shit.
Which
wow.
Edmonds tricked him into thinking green jelly was...
Kryptonite.
Oh! I'm going to look this up, because if this is the case, if this is actually true, not some IMDb bollocks, this may be one of the best things in the history of existence.
Green gunge, like?
Yeah, they made green gunge into kryptonite. Oh, makes sense, right?
That's a great idea.
Wow. I mean, that's the power Edmonds had. He was out of control.
God. He was like the king of... Gunge. The king of television.
He's the king of television. Untouchable.
He has, by the way, since then, he's disowned the BBC, never wants to have anything to do with them ever again.
No, they won't touch him.
He was part of a consortium that wanted to buy up the BBC off the government, i.e. the BBC Trust, and turn it into a massive advert, basically. Because his hatred of the BBC knows no bounds.
Because they axed it, didn't they? And
they made him though.
Yeah, but they did. Yeah, because of the late breakfast show and all that.
You know.
I remember when they got axed, and I remember him walking into the show with an axe on his head because it was in the press that he got axed, and then he had to do another show, and then but it all started to fall apart a bit. And you kind of see when you see the
set
shows,
deteriorates.
Yeah, well, it's a different set. It's not the house. It's kind of a bit of a. It's almost like a rubbish wing of the house.
Yeah,
but it's like because it was a great show, and then but at the end they kind of changed the theme tune. And it was that kind of like dance music.
Got crap. Orbital probably did it.
Yeah, Orbital remix of the house party, and it was kind of like you can see that he doesn't care as much. I think he's probably like me budget. It's been slashed.
Yeah.
I don't really care, and it just isn't as good a show. And there's not really much to it if because I saw a couple recently, like on the the YouTubes.
They don't rerun them either.
No, because it's a bit, you know, people hate it, don't they? People, but then it gets voted the best show of all time. So it's.
I think it was just like, you know, I described it a panto cross with a Saturday Morning Zoo show on radio. Both things incredibly popular, fun, happy, make people laugh, simple stuff. And, you know, Generation Game lasted for decades and decades and decades. And let's be honest, that isn't high art either. I should also point out that Jim Davidson wasn't going, alas and alack, forsooth, this is my finest performance ever.
No.
You know, but whatever makes them happy, whatever brings in the punters. What and time, the BBC's got an obligation to make people happy. So it does it.
I remember the last show, when his last sentence, and I remember him...
He says the word just bye, doesn't he?
Yeah, he says like... Because it was all in the papers, I remember... And going, it was rubbish house party, it's gone to the dogs, it's gone downhill, and it got out, and it was like his last show, and he went
sick of it.
I think it's the end of an era. He was like, I remember him going, it's an end of era, and he went, don't think too bad it before we go, don't think too bad of us, or I hope your memory is kind to us, or something like that. And and it's like, I remember going, oh god, this is really sad.
Fortuitous time, isn't it?
I miss that show. I liked it.
This is how Wikipedia describes this moment. So it says all the words, literally, almost very similar to the words you just said. Noel Edmonds' final words ever on the last house party in 1999 was bye. This was before he got foamed from a fire extinguisher by Freddie Starr.
Which kind of undermines the poignancy of that comment.
There we go. And
it's like the final shot of the final season of Blackadder.
Oh, God.
And then suddenly someone goes, gotcha!
Yeah. Jeremy Beadle slaps him in the face.
It's like a foamy full stop.
Which was one of the rounds on Noel's house party that they had to. One of the ideas that came up towards the end. Foamy full stop.
Foamy full stop.
You're at school, you're doing your homework, and then someone comes out. Jeremy Beadle comes. Not Jeremy Beadle's on the TV show. Noel Edmonds comes out. Mr. Blobby comes out. Foams everyone.
Between the three of us, come up with five examples each of the kind of celebrity we'd expect to appear on Noel's house party.
Vicky Michelle.
Solid.
From Hello, Hello. Blackburn.
Yeah, tell me.
Biggins.
Yes.
Whitfield.
Mm-hmm.
Or Reg from The Bill.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure they were on there. That's kind
of. I mean, I've got Jeremy Clarkson.
Clarkson's a good one.
Clarkson's there.
Yep.
Robert Kilroy Silk. These are people I know were on it.
No, this is all good. I just, like, let's have it.
You know, there were, who else? I'm trying to think of some
Lionel Blair.
Oh, Blair, of course.
Carol Smiley's a cracker.
Smiley.
Chris Eubank. Probably lived in that house.
Chris Akabusi would also be on there.
Awuga.
John Virgo. He's bound to crop up.
With a no dad waistcoat.
Yeah. What happened to Virgo, man?
I think he just does trick shots for a living.
Anthea Turner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hyacinth Bouquet, I did know, actually turned up.
Oh, really? I don't remember that.
In character, Hyacinth Bouquet knocks on the door and does the whole posh thing, big massive mansion.
I don't know when Keeping Up Appearance is actually on the telly. I only know it from being on Sunday morning reruns.
Yeah, it's 90s.
But when, you know, like, what time slot was that?
I remember it was Sunday. I think it was Sunday.
I'm going to look it up.
After evenings. I kind of remember, it means I got to go to school the next day. Yeah, it's kind of that. Like you rang Milord or Highway with Harry Seacombe. He's like, oh God, I got to go to school the next day. Is that, you know, or Jeeves and Worcester's the ultimate one.
Antiques Roadshow is what would kill me.
Yeah, Antiques Roadshow. Songs of Praise.
Just misery. Like,
basically Sunday television.
Yeah, yeah. Really. Sounds like the day before Monday. Anything on around there, you'd remind you of the date. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Depressing.
We'll have to do that one of these days. But yeah, your memories of it were really positive then.
Your
memories
it.
Of the show were actually, as a kid, you liked it. Because we were, this was prime, like, adolescence, maybe we were 8, 9, through to maybe 12. Yeah. 6 to 12, we were watching this.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know your age, sir, but
I would have been a little bit older.
A little bit older.
13, but 14.
Both,
yeah, yeah.
But both all of our memories here are positive that we quite liked it.
Yeah.
I have memories of liking parts of it. And sometimes just not getting a lot of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I remember really enjoying it. And I still look back and go, oh, it was a great show. But I do remember, even when I was a kid, watching it. And, like, when he would do his jokes. Or if someone like Chris Eubank would come to the door. And they got this skit. And I remember there would be punchlines, there would be jokes, but the audience didn't laugh and everything fell flat. Or someone come at the door and the door would open and it was Vicky Michelle. Oh, this would be funny. But it always fell flat. The expectation of this little skit was better than it was always a bit.
We never quite.
Never really got an. Even if.
You got there.
It needed some canned laughter, I think, to help things along.
But yeah. It was so. It reveled in its liveness.
Yeah. Oh, it was. Was it totally live?
Yeah, for sure.
Brilliant.
Yuri Geller.
Mega live. Yuri Geller's a quality one.
He's on.
That's quality.
That's probably. Because Noel Edmonds is dead into astrology, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. And well, he likes that cosmic order.
And all that shit. So
well, also of that era, the whole spoon bending thing was humongous.
They loved it.
Geller's bending all the spoons in the Great House.
Yeah. Hanging out with Michael Jackson.
What? Oh, imagine Michael Jackson on Noel's house party. That would be. Because
that was one of the jokes. Because they did that one. So yeah, there was the wait till you get home.
Yeah. Till I get you home.
Wait till I get you home.
And it was kids being interviewed by Noel.
And then you know, it's basically like kids say the darndest things. That's the premise. And
yeah, but with this implied I'm going to hit you around the head thing. Wait till I get you home. I'll clock you around the ear.
Well, it's like, you know, we're going to interview you, but your parents are going to be mortified.
Because so he'd say things like, you know, oh, well, my mum and dad were making funny noises in the bedroom last night, that sort of thing.
He's like, so, you know, why do you wear pyjamas in bed? And he'd be like, so you don't have a baby.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, but my daddy, he's got pants that he's got a big hole now. And then they're like, and then one time he got it out and it was flapping about. It's like stuff like that.
Brilliant.
And then it would cut to the parents and be like, oh, it's
the biggest fault I've ever
Child
done.
Services at the door. Ding dong.
It's Mr. Blobby with a clipboard. Blob, 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 which is Blobby for this is the fourth time this year. I'm afraid we'll have to take him away.
Yeah,
with the vocoder as well on the Blobby, so you get the octave lower. Just terrifying.
Oh yeah,
blob, blob, blob.
Sometimes when he fell over, the lid of the head came up, and it was because it was the collar and tie thing I think he had on, and you saw a bit of Barry every now and again underneath.
God, don't you hate it when you see your dad's Barry? Flops out, and there it is.
For all to see.
Blobbied.
My
Simon
big pork
Cowell
pie.
Called Noel Edmonds the Grand Master of Light Entertainment.
God, what a great title. That should be on his business card.
The Grand Master. It sounds like some kind of evil wizard.
Like
the Grand Vizier.
He's like a Scientologist.
It's probably a Doctor Who villain with that title, isn't there? Grand Master.
Yeah, even played worse than the Master.
Played by Noel Edmonds.
Yeah, Grand Master. The Master's dad?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, could be. Time Lord's uncle?
Yeah.
Your memories are fond of it. You liked.
I do remember. Yeah, and then today watching it.
So rewatching it over the past few days, what have you been thinking? Have you thinking, what happened to the
it's
universe?
Quite hard
in
to track down.
I was thinking, Edmonds hasn't changed, and I was thinking a lot of shows, like I mentioned just now, like Ant and Dex, those
homage.
Sort of shows. A lot of people have borrowed stuff. Another thing, it doesn't date that much. I was watching episodes.
Come off it.
No. Like certain bits, some bits do, but like when he's sort of presenting in front of the main bit when he does the stand-up
camera,
bit,
yeah.
It's kind of like that could be. Maybe I'm just sort of it's too ingrained in my mind.
You love it.
It's not a fair test,
well,
is it?
Yeah,
I'm indoctrined.
I tell you what, I was impressed by watching it now is that he, because it was this live thing, and we obviously do this loosey goosey as we keep saying.
Yeah,
comedy. He does this thing on the show where he's like, hello, and later we've got a competition where you can grab a grand with blah, 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 blah. And oh my God, Fergie's coming or whatever, you know, the other one. And he'll do this whole spiel. And then he'll look at the crowd and go, don't look at me like that. You'll make me laugh. Okay, right. So, Mr. Blobby, what are you up to?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
He had this element
let's
get through this because, you know, the village hall's getting used later. So, you know, scouts are coming in. So let's carry on.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Generation Game in a second. And oh, here's Dean Cain. You know, it just, there was, you enjoy it in its shambolic, what we're going to do next-ness. I think it was pre-planned. It would be the worst
TV show ever
made, because if this gave any impression like it had been planned, you couldn't handle it.
I'm just when you think of
improv pantomime,
but they've never been able to recapture that magic.
No,
or like get anything close, or do anything like it ever again.
But maybe it's because
it's a good thing.
Well, but. Isn't that interesting? I mean, there's got to be the times have changed. People have changed.
Well, it's
society's changed.
End of the pier humour has just kind of stopped. You got a bit of that with Michael McIntyre and a lot of that with Roy Chubby Brown, but I don't want Roy Chubby Brown back on the TV.
No. But a lot of it's things like, you know, when they put stand-up on Saturday Night TV, you know, it's cheaper to put on, into it. That required a budget,
yeah,
that show.
Yeah, there's a lot of money.
And there's a lot of cheap, and people, and like reality shows, like the X Factors and whatnot, yeah, it's cheaper to make, probably, into it.
Yeah. And you accidentally make an ego out of some bearded clown, and he becomes some kind of, you know,
no
diva.
Limits.
Yeah. Rather not.
You can imagine him being a monster.
Oh, apparently he's a bit of a horrible person.
Yeah.
We had these, years ago, we had some carol singers come around our house, and they did something at Noah's House. They were like extras in a skit, and because I think they filmed some of it around Bristol or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
How did this come for conversation?
He does a lot of Bristol stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
His Red Box game.
Oh, right.
Your friend of mine, Deal No Deal. That's all done in Bristol.
Oh, there we are. See, he's probably got an affiliation. And they did some on Noah's House party. They were extras on some of it, and they said he was a not nice bloke. Bit of a rat bag.
Bit of a crinkly bottom.
Do you remember what the, you know, like in The Simpsons, the rival village is Shelbyville?
Oh,
do you remember what the rival village of Crinkly Bottom was?
You've got to tell me.
Dangly End. Brilliant. He was only allowed to say it once a series because it was a bit too naughty.
A bit blue. A bit too blue for the Beeb.
Dangly.
Think of the innuendos you could derive from that one.
Dangly End.
Dangly End.
Well,
God.
That'll do you.
It's kind of renders.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, you don't know what to do about that
on a Saturday night.
This is the kind of show actually that you'd watch it with your parents, and there'll be bits which you'd get are naughty as you're watching it, and you'd go,
no. Oh no,
yeah.
Didn't find that funny. I don't know what you're talking about.
No.
Poor Gascoigne referring to his penis. I had no idea. Don't know what's going on. Look, a bird.
My dad used to cough if he thought there was anything naughty going on. Like when they used to do the censored bit on sort of shows like, or in Beatles About, when they used to sort of swear or whatever. My dad used to do, or if we watched a film, like a PG, and someone said, like, you know, my dad would go, like anticipating and coughing over it to the point, right, where me and my sister.
During a sex scene.
Yeah. We would just look at my dad. But for like, and so like, you know, like an Eddie Murphy film, you know.
Sure.
You're a great. And so for years, me and my sister thought that my dad had a bad cough. Like a tickly mic. Until we got a bit older and going, oh, he was censoring. He was like doing that was his bleeper machine.
Well, he's racist. He was like, there's Eddie Murphy.
But he did it on the Edmund Show when like Dave Lee Travis would sort of, oh, I've been gotcha'd. And he would swear my dad would put almost like another layer of censorship over the top.
Wow. The gotchas, when you look back at them.
I saw a few good ones with this one.
I watched the Eamon Holmes one today.
What do they do?
A young Eamon Holmes.
Wow. There's no such thing has ever existed, Ross. There has never been a young Eamon Holmes.
Is there evidence
young
of this?
Eamon Holmes, he's there, and he's doing like a car. He's doing like a sort of like an infomercial for, or like an informational video for car salesmen. And there's a guy in a gorilla suit.
They're out of bed, didn't they?
So, like, you know, it's like, Eamon Holmes talking, and, you know, you've got to do... Oh, hold on, I can't do my Irish accent.
That was pretty good.
But, you know...
Is he Irish?
The thing is...
Northern Irish.
Northern.
Northern Ireland. Hi now, Brian Kai.
Ginger, that's it, Ginger. The thing is, when you're selling a car, you've got to get them to say yes. And he's just talking about that, saying yes. Anyway, he's saying all this spiel. This geezer is in a gorilla suit, really doer, like, you know, sour-faced. Cut! You know, they do a take, and it's not working. I think we'll get the guy to put the full gorilla costume on. Well, little do we know, the guy that we see has now become Noel Edmonds.
Brilliant.
So he's like, you know... This car is fantastic. Talk about the four layers of paint applied by robots. Then the gorilla's like throwing his arms around, banging on the bonnet, nearly hits Eamon Holmes in the face.
God.
Eamon Holmes came up last week when we did Power Rangers. He's come up a lot recently, actually.
He's omnipresent.
He's, you know.
Love Eamon Holmes.
I thought you said he was on the show last week.
I wish.
Oh,
Eamon,
up.
If you listen.
One day.
At Eamon Holmes, if you listen. But, yeah, it was... I just found it. I'd be like, because there's one bit where he's like,
But then he reveals that he's Noel Edmonds, and then
he's like, oh. But prior to that, Eamon, there's a great bit where Eamon Holmes just goes, the guy's like, I used to be, you know, the guy in the gorilla suit before it turns into Neil Adams goes, I used to be a great actor. And Eamon Holmes just goes, I used to be a great journalist. I love the idea. There was a time in his life. This is pre-GMTV.
Yeah.
Eamon Holmes, like, thought he was...
K-A-D.
Thought he was Trevor McDonagh.
He thought he was, out in the Iraq War.
Yeah, on the front line.
Yeah. Here I am, dressed as Mr. Blobby in Afghanistan. Yeah. These new are bullet holes.
It's like the ultimate distraction, isn't it? Blobby on the front line.
Blah, 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 blah!
But that's another thing that Nat and Adek have taken. They've taken that duping celebrities by dressing up. So when they went, I remember them going on...
they were with Cheryl Cole, Fernandez. Yeah.
And they went on American Idol and they auditioned and Simon Cowell's on. They were dressed as like trailer trash and they had the, you know, hey there, I'm talking
from that one.
And they did all that. So they owe a lot.
I've got another cracking one for Carol Smiley.
Yeah.
One of the ones they did is they sent her as part of a grand and mega gotcha. They said, we need you to promote how great the BBC is. Go to BBC Radio Shetland and just find out what it's like up in the Shetlands. They love you up there. Just go up there, have a great time, report back. So she goes up there with a camera crew and she gets put onto Radio Shetland. And they go, we've got a whole hour of questions and answers with Carol Smiley. It's unbelievable. Everyone loves her here. Smiley, Smiley, Carol Smiley. And so they go, so the lines are open. Anyone at all. And so she could see her going, oh no, I didn't realise I didn't have any mates. Oh my God. And she's obviously got a big smile on her face. That's all fine. But then 20 minutes later, they go, and we have our first caller. So they have the phone call and it's like, hello. Hello? And they're like, hello, what question would you like to ask? Oh, I think I've got the wrong number.
Oh no.
And so they put the phone or whatever. They and then eventually this lady calls up and says, look, are you going to America for your next trip? And because she was on that travel show. Do you remember the travel show where just like BBC bods got to fly around the world? Unbelievable. Anyway, so they said, oh, would you mind taking a parcel there? And she was like, oh, no. But anyway, the funniest bit was is that she ends up going to the Welcome, We Love You, Carol Smiley Shetland Hall. And it says, We Love You, Carol Smiley. On this massive sign done in spray paint, and she walks in and there's just like this creepy man sitting in this massive hall and there are no seats and she's just like dying. She can't believe how embarrassing it is that there's this in honor of her. And the guy goes, we were expecting more. No. And that's it. This is like a really flat, like nothing.
Yeah.
And you know, actually get got. There was another one with Lionel Blair gets trapped in a lift with a priest. Pretty good guys.
Oh, I remember one when Lionel Blair, another one, Lionel Blair was doing a farce on stage, mm-hmm. and Edmonds was dressed up and he was in the audience. It's like it was like him and somebody else dressed as like old people.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They were chatting,
heckling
and they were
stuff.
Heckling. They were heckling Blair, and they did that thing. Was it the Lionel Blair stare?
Oh
and,
yeah.
He got known for that, and he just had a go at some the people in the audience who was Edmonds and his friend, and he just stared at them for about 10 seconds in like a psychotic manner,
and then they went, "Wait, it's me, Noel."
Yeah. He was really good at accents, as I remember.
When no.
He was like, yeah. When he was like, well, I mean, say very good. He was no Davro, but he was...
he was no moi.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, he was... it was good enough for him to dupe Russell Grant.
You think? Grant got done. Russell Grant.
If you get Grant in the bag, Mac. You know you're a good...
You're on a winner.
That's the barometer.
Is it time to, referencing Shooting Stars, put some scores on some doors?
Yeah, I feel like probably is. I would say that there is a, on my doing my research, there's a New York Times article about Mr. Blobby.
Really?
He
How
went
did get over that
written in 1994. The headline is Britain's answer to Barney.
Oh,
no,
Barney
he
the
isn't.
Big
Barney the
purple
dinosaur.
They thought it says London, America's may ooh and ah over Anthony Hopkins and Emma Thompson. The British prefer Mr. Blobby.
The British.
7 feet tall and shaped like a bowling pin, Mr. Blobby began his life as a doodle. He was intended as a minor, ephemeral character on a BBC show called Noel's House Party. Now he enjoys all the perks and anxieties of a media superstar. And he just goes on.
To be fair, in Blobby's fame problem, just take the suit off, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I bet Barney felt threatened for a bit, didn't he?
I bet, yeah. But he's got the tail and he can swipe people quite hard with that.
Oh, yeah, right.
Blobby could just fall over.
And he's got sharp teeth.
No, absolutely.
He could pierce Blobby.
God. Wow. Blobby gets punctured and flies around the room. I'd watch that.
You'd save that for the end of season special, wouldn't you? Yeah. Or maybe the Christmas special.
as he gets
colossally deflated. I mean, we posted it on Twitter this week.
Right, and I also, I read earlier that there was once, on the back of all those failed theme parks, there was a gotcha land.
No.
And it was basically, and this bloke, because Edmunds would get people to invest in it, so his company would invest in it, and you get like business people to invest in it, and this bloke's going, it's the worst decision I ever made in my life. And it was this bit of video I watched, and it was Gotcha Land, and it was a series of letdowns. It was a theme park, so there would be dolphin swimming, but there would be no dolphins. And there would
this
be...
is literally Dismaland.
Yes, but yes, that is, isn't it?
So Noel Edmonds is actually as clever as Banksy.
Noel Edmonds is Banksy.
But at least Banksy bothered to put things up. It just sounds like there was just nothing there. It's just like a sign. So yeah, it was. But I know there was this video thing I suddenly said it wasn't a success. So yeah, no surprises there really, was it? Gotcha Land. So there was loads of letdowns, like, you know, there's a gift shop, but there's nothing in it.
Was Gotcha Land? Sorry.
Bless you.
Was Gotcha Land?
That was like you got emotional.
Was it the ultimate gotcha?
Yeah,
gotcha.
Right.
Oh, wow, really?
In duping in this investor, that was like, ha ha!
You've been done, mate.
Reynolds from You've been South done. Devon. Shove it up you.
Yeah. Or like your thing about, like, saying about Dismaland, maybe Banksy is Edmunds.
That's what I'm, I think that's the, that, that's the theory we go with.
What?
Hey, you said it. I'm going along with it. I think that's, that's a great observation.
Is an anagram of Blobby.
Right.
If you're drunk. On Gunge, Kryptonite Gunge.
Blobby, Blobby, Banksy.
So let's get some marks. Okay. Out of 1,990.
Where would you mark?
Like, and this
Noel's
is,
who's party?
This is in terms of you watching it now. Would you, watching it now, don't, like, bear it in mind how much you enjoyed it when you were younger. Yeah, that's fine. But generally,
we try
cold light of day.
It's tough because sometimes we get, nostalgia gets in the way.
Yeah, yeah.
But
would you sit down and watch 55 minutes of House Party?
An hour long.
Would I watch like a rerun of it, or if they were to do it now, a rerun of
rerun,
it?
Rerun. So I sit you down with my laptop and I start playing an episode. Did you have a good time?
I start to get a bit bored, I'll be honest. Yeah. So with the nostalgia took over. So out of 1,999, I would probably give it...
Well, that's 990.
No,
yeah.
I'd probably go 900.
900?
The rest of it is a little
bit...
That's
low.
That's quite low for us.
And there's uncomfortable... Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah.
Can I go to... I thought I'll go 1,000 then?
Yeah, 1,000.
It's the uncomfortable silences in between the material and stuff that made me feel a little bit awkward.
Just to put it in perspective, I think we gave Power Rangers...
Like 1,400 or something.
1,400.
Yeah, that 99 I'm allowing for awkward silences, low production values, and Edmunds's lack of ability to handle the genius material he was given.
He was given, like, prior type material, and he just shat the bed.
Learn your lines, Edmunds. Yes. So that's my score.
From one professional to another.
He never listens. You phone up. Send
nightmare,
the facts.
Nightmare. Cold reading every time, this guy.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's me. 1,000.
1,000.
I think that's such a solid number.
Yeah.
I'm going to go a bit higher than that, I think.
What are you going to give it?
It's not that I think it's great. It's just that it is so one-of-a-kind mad that it's like... you know, sometimes you look at what Britain's created and you go, Wallace and Gromit, I'm so glad that exists. This kind of slips into that category of... This is so off the charts nuts.
It's
I'm
mental.
A bit proud of it.
It is, and it is two things. Quintessentially 90s and British.
Yeah, it's very British.
It doesn't translate. The fact they tried to flog it in other countries and it flopped proves it. It's that mental British thing where we love just really rubbish comedy.
But we love
slapstick. We love it.
Its premise was, imagine if some bearded TV... Pratt
a rich
has
bloke.
A big house and brings people around to the country where people play cricket and make
and
innuendo.
They do stupid stuff.
That's the joke. And there's a big giant pill that falls over.
And sometimes Del Winton will knock at the door.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of a celebrity then.
Well, like, 1,213 is what I'm giving it.
1,213.
1,213. I don't think you could fully tear this one down. It was far too popular at the time. And I did smirk at quite a lot of the gotcha.
I'm going to give it 1,000 as well. I'm going to go with you.
Okay. You cowards. I think the trouble is that I wouldn't sit down and watch 55
see,
minutes
I'm
of it
now.
See,
I'm a big fan. I feel like I should have gone higher.
Yeah, maybe you can. You're still good.
Yeah.
You still can. Well,
no, I know.
You're going to commit.
Edmonds will be listening live. He'll just think I'm weak and feeble.
Well, you know, you see this.
We can hear your thoughts.
That's actually a camera.
Cosmic ordering. Yeah. Hey!
Hey, that Tropicana.
ATV.
He's got. Well,
ATV.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Spoiler alert, guys. We're in my house. So a little bit of background information for you guys. Big pod fans.
Yeah.
Having a great time. Listening to this. Well done.
So, yeah, well, that's. I think, yeah. That's not. I think, yeah. That's not
in review.
In review, yeah.
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 I think I've summed up my feelings with the word yeah.
I mean, like, you know, we wish Noel a lot of luck. He seems to be falling on hard times. I think he's going to be okay, huh?
He had a long hiatus, didn't he, before the deal program.
It was like the Chris Evans follow years.
You don't like calling it Deal or No Deal?
Oh, no, I just forget what it's called.
Oh, I see, right? I thought it was and like a thing you were just like, can't bring yourself to say the name.
I went on there and I won a pick one penny. I am never saying that show's name.
The Red Box program.
And I just think of the Red Box. So my mind just goes, get there easy.
I thought you were like sponsored. It's like the Panda Cola. You can't call. You can't say Coca-Cola. You're like, we have to call it Panda.
I didn't want to make you have to pay like £50,000 if we actually said the name
Endemol
of the show.
Come and knock on the door.
Excuse me. Yeah. We're the same guys that did the Oscars.
Yeah. Shit again!
Yeah, we've already got a case study that it doesn't turn out well. So
Edmund's got a team of crack lawyers listening to every UK podcast.
But he's back. He's back and he's here to stay.
He's doing well. He's in a lottery adverts at the moment.
Yeah. And he does Sky TV shows a lot. Like, is your kid smarter than this brick?
Is your kid smarter than this brick?
Yeah, they're still trying to answer. Like, they're still trying to
find
answer.
We need to do more quiz shows with inanimate objects. We had the red box. Brick.
Cheese question mark.
Yeah.
Did a lot of casting, and those are the best objects.
Dogs, can yes or no?
Beat the boulder.
Falling over and win.
And he spikes the landing. Well, that has been another episode of 1990s Problems.
I've been Alistair Plum.
I've been Ross Drummond.
I've been Stephen Alan York.
What a joy it has been.
It's been a joy
you
to be here.
Thank you. Come again to my house flat party.
You can come to Crickley Bottom anytime.
I'd love to. What about Dangley End?
What would I call my
flat? Well, we're already
flat?
There.
What's my flat then, if it's one of those?
I mean, I don't want to say anything offensive, Ellie.
Saggy pants?
That's a good one.
Saggy saddle.
Nah, that's not a real place. Saggy pants. That's
saggy pants.
Saggy end?
It's got to be a cul-de-sac.
Oh, yeah. Cul-de-sac. Bowl-de-sac.
Sold.
Gun. Done.
Done.
Gunge.
Let's talk about Big Break.
You're going to do a double episode. Straight in. Shoom.
Well, we're setting up Lewis and Clark's.
Exactly. God, can you imagine?
New Adventure Superman. Yeah, thanks for listening. You're all wonderful.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter, 1990s Podcast.
We're probably going to do another 90s quiz showy type game, probably. Maybe something we've mentioned.
Yeah.
Sometime soon. We'll see how it goes.
The Big Red Box.
Biggie Ready Boxy game. Thanks loads for listening. And
stay witchy, bitches.
Stay witchy.
Bye.
Ta-da.
Bye.
with talents, no sense of balance.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.